Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elia Connie.
Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. All I ever wanted was a little love. I want true
romance, it's true. Hello and welcome to True Romance. This is Carolina Barlow.
And this is Devin Leary.
Listen, there's a lot going on. Bennifer is recreating the Jenny from the Block music video for her birthday. Love is in the air, but I really just don't want to get caught up in headlines today because we have such an amazing guest I want to get to.
We have a guest that really has shaken my whole family and everyone I know to our core. It's one of those moments where I'm like, just look at me now. Like, I just never thought that I would be able to brag to my family members that I get to interview this person. You might be able to audibly hear me trying not to shit myself because I was so nervous and excited.
While you make fun of Ramona shitting on the floor, interestingly enough.
Yes, while I criticize others. Are any of us pure? Are any of us pure? No, none of us are pure.
If you are holding a stone right now, do yourself a favor and put it down. You have no business.
Because guess what? Guess what? When you're pointing one finger at someone else, there's a few pointing back at you,
and if you're me, up at God.
And if you're me, a hitchhiker's thumb too. So I would say, yeah, like I can't blame myself for judging people for shitting themselves while I'm nervous about it. But I also want to say that sometimes do meet your heroes, because sometimes they are even brighter, more stunningly beautiful, funnier, kinder, cooler, have an amazing Zoom background-er than you could have even imagined.
I remember the glee I felt when I got to tell Devin that I was talking to Casey Wilson at work.
There were so many things that I just was bursting at the seams to get her two cents on, and I'm so grateful that you, again, brightened my life.
Came through, yeah.
With this interview.
I just want to get to it, okay? We know that Bennifer is back together. You'll see Bennifer all over the news for the next 100 years.
So. And guess what? Isn't there going to be a point where we're sick of Bennifer? There might be.
I mean, I have to be really honest with you. I'm getting there.
I'm more like, I'm finding myself looking more at like Camila Cabello and Shawn Mendes videos than Bennifer, because I actually do believe in them in a way that I didn't before. Okay.
All right. Well, now we have to, you know, go to Mythbusters with that one. Let's get to our interview. Our guest on the pod today is the actress, writer, director, and podcaster Casey Wilson. She starred in ABC's classic Happy Endings. She can also be seen in the upcoming Shrink Next Door for Apple TV, co-starring alongside our boss Will Ferrell, Paul Rudd, and Katherine Hahn. And she can also be seen in Showtime's Black Monday, her New York Times best-selling collection of essays. The Wreckage of My Presence was published in May 2021 and is available everywhere. Thank you so much for joining us, Casey.
Oh my gosh, what a nice intro. I love to hear all my credits, you know. Really nice.
They're good ones.
I'm kidding. Nice to see you guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for coming.
Of course, I'm thrilled, and I'm sorry you had to witness me move from room to room, booted out by every family member, only to be now seated on the floor in my bedroom.
Your husband, I mean, I'm sorry, your son did look like he had just fired you.
He is always. I mean, you mentioned Will Ferrell's your boss. My son is mine. I'm so scared of him.
Well, you just wrote my favorite book, Wreckage of My Presence, which I loved and read out loud to my entire family walking around my house.
She did. I was there for parts of that. She'd be like, wait, one more thing. Just one more thing.
Everyone's like, we never want to hear this book.
No, we love it.
It's just a really funny way to kill the mood is to take out a book and begin reading from it when people are just casually hanging out, and to make something that people would be genuinely interested in reading suddenly feel like a chore. Or like, okay, wait, we're going to have to move back a few pages. Okay, we're going to start from here.
Oh, no, you're not going to understand that reference. Let's keep going back.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay, pause for some backstory.
It was one of the first nights, no, the first time that I had seen Carolina in a year and a half. She was reading to me from your book, which at first I did appreciate, but later was like, okay, so anyway, back to life updates for the past year and a half.
Yeah. She's like, Casey Wilson's also lived a life, 40 years, in fact, and a hard one. JK, not a hard one.
So I've been thinking all day about, like, how do I not be creepy? Like, I want to be like, yeah, we're peers. Of course you would be on my podcast. Of course. Like, this is natural. But in reality, I am losing my mind slightly.
You seem quite stoic.
I always seem stoic, but my anxiety, like, for some reason manifests as acting like I don't care. So, like, I'll act, like, cool. But my whole family has been texting me.
I think this girl doesn't like me, but I'm rolling with it.
Everybody thinks that.
That is a common reflection that people make after maybe an hour in Devin's presence.
No, but it only made me want you to like me more. So I knew I would get you eventually, but I was like, hey, this is going to take a second.
Meanwhile, I'm on a group chat with my family and they're all like, okay, well, you could tell her. My cousin Colleen was like, you could tell her that I love her or not. Just kidding. Just kidding.
And you worked Colleen in seamlessly.
I did want to bring up this morning. I thought of a time 5 years ago, I think, when I was moving to LA by myself for the first time, because I've moved back and forth from LA to New York, not to brag. And I was listening to your podcast, Bitch Sesh, with my mom, because we both love the podcast. And
God,
we
listen, God bless her,
religiously, yes. And so we were listening and she was like, wait, Casey and Danielle live in LA. There's cool people in LA. There's great people there. There's great people there. And I was like, okay, you're right. You're right. You're right.
Oh, that's sweet. I appreciate that.
And that's why she came to your house.
Yeah, I was like, I guess I'll just find them. I guess I'll just reach out. Yep.
But you did.
And here I am.
You find me.
5 years later.
You can get Danielle too. Well, thank you for saying that. I'm so happy you listen to the podcast. It's such nonsense. So, but I'm happy to be on your podcast, more importantly.
Oh my gosh. Devin took me to my first Bitch Sesh live show where I felt like such an interloper because I wasn't caught up on any of the franchises. And Devin was just hysterically laughing at every reference and having so much backstory to give me, like, oh, okay, so there was one woman on the show who had flesh eating virus. So that I was like, yeah, you have to be clear. I don't understand what happened to these women.
Well, really, it's like watching something in another language, I think, if you don't follow, you know?
Yeah.
It's like a shared history of Devin and I's family members that we know all the backstories and the horror stories that we've all had to like live through and process and deal with the trauma of them. And then a new person is like, your family seems fine.
Yeah.
Danny Pellegrino had a great example where he said that once you start watching and just getting in deep. He said, like, so many things happen that we normalize. Like, we yes. normalize that Luann and her daughter had, like, a short pop singing career together. And, like, that's just something.
He was like, what is wrong with us? Like, why is this okay? Because I was talking about Luann's stand-up show that she had where there was, like, comedians.
Oh, my God.
Which Chris Murphy yeah. on your podcast apparently yes. was one of them.
One of them. Lucky enough to be one of them. Vanity Fair contributor, Chris Murphy.
So I brought that up casually. I was like, so the stand-up show with Luann. And Danny was like, it's just crazy that to us, we're like, yes, she held a stand-up show. Yes.
Yeah.
And
similarly, we're like, right, and that was when Sonia was doing Cabaret-esque.
Right.
Like, what is Cabaret-esque? Like, to just for starters. We're all like, starters. Right. That was her phase of that. I actually just bought two dresses from Sonia Morgan yesterday. I have to tell you this very briefly, and then we can move off Housewives.
No,
but
please. No, we'll be staying on them for a while. So I'm like, no.
Well, I think this will come as a surprise to you. I had to take a screen grab for Danielle because we're going to do a live show in New York in the fall. And I was like, I think we should try to get some of Sonia by Sonia Morgan's clothes that she tried to sell at Century 21.
Right.
Before they all sell out, which was a wild thought. I was like, if they sell out, Danielle's like, we're going to be fine, but okay. And so we ordered these dresses and I got an email today. This was yesterday, ordered at 4 p.m. and it said your dresses have shipped. That is the fastest turnaround any housewife in the history of time. And I have ordered hundreds of items, but I will see if it gets here. But that's big. Like, I waited on Robin's hats in Potomac for like 4 months. I've never gotten glasses I ordered Cynthia Bailey. There's right. a lot of merchandise floating out there that I'll never see. So I'm proud of Sonia for that.
I'm amazed. It must be the corporate element of Century 21 whipped them into shape.
No, this is on her private website.
Oh, so okay.
I got an email from, it said Regina, an intern.
Oh, okay.
I was going to say it was must have been one of her unpaid interns.
Of course it wasn't Sonia, but still, I felt I was like, Regina's got her shit together.
She's changing things. Yeah. She really is. Can't wait to see how that looks.
Well, your book covers everything that matters to me, from blind rage to blind rage at strangers, which I love, to food issues. Which Devin and I both think about, to trauma and grief and being a bed and bath person, which I think about all the time. And it's really helped me just be in acceptance that I like to be lying down for most things. Like, I think at my wedding, I will be lying down for it.
Sounds wonderful.
Like a city.
Be carried in. Yes. I love it.
And falling in love with your husband, David, and the Real Housewives. Specifically to falling in love, I love how honest you are about your courtship with David and physically chasing him down a hotel hallway to hook up with him for the first time, including right. shooting your leg out to stop the elevator doors.
Running alongside another raider that we kept like getting faster and faster and faster, but we're trying to be like cool with each other. Like, I've got to go now too. But then we were like getting quicker and quicker and quicker. And I really have never made, I know it seems like it's the first story you're hearing about me, but I would never do something like that, really. But I was like, this is quite literally a sliding doors moment of like, I have to do this. Right. If I don't, I think this is my window or it's done. And I really do believe I was right there. All right, go on.
Well, you obviously are, because you have like, you know, your angry baby boss son in the other room.
And now I'm living the dream and like so annoyed that I can hear him on his Zoom downstairs. So it's all worked out beautifully.
You mentioned in your book that you call your husband just to talk, but still try to play, as your sister-in-law said, like a little bit hard to get still, even though you're married.
Yes.
How right. did you come to terms with the fact that you aren't playing hard to get with your husband?
That I aren't anymore?
Yeah.
Well, I sort of am. Like, I'm upset with this shirt that I'm wearing. Maybe I misunderstood
the
question.
Wait, I love it. No, I love it.
Well, here's the thing. Okay, so I don't know if people are going to take this the wrong way. Is this like mean I'm not a strong woman? But so I love this shirt, I will say. Thank you so much. But I'm wearing like a bralette, and these bralettes have really, you know, kind of a COVID carryover for me where, but I have, again, not to brag on my end, it's your breast. And they're low in this shirt, and I'm like, I don't want him seeing this, you know? And I do feel that says something about our marriage. I don't know what it says, like, because he would not care or notice. But I'm like, I gotta scurry by the door. don't want him to see. Because when you're in these horizontal stripes, it's... I went to lunch with my girlfriend and I was like, oh God, my boobs are so low in the shirt. She goes, they really are. I was like, I really have never had a friend ever affirm a negative comment.
You can just like
need that.
Hold your kids over it.
Yeah, I guess.
No, I think that, that's actually a hopeful message. And I will try to channel that. I think the quarantine did really do a lot of damage to my urge to look good.
I show up 30% and like 70% if I like someone, and but I'm really asking them like to take a longer look at my personality, you know, like I'm really...
She does.
Yeah,
I'm really counting on it.
Them. Yeah,
yeah,
because they can't, they're not looking at anything else, so
yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's sort of like how funny guys can do everything. Like Zach Galifianakis can marry like a beautiful, crazy, gorgeous wife. And women find Jack Black so hot, including myself. I'm just like, I'm hoping that that will translate. I'm hoping that.
See, I'm going to say something again. And I know it seems I'm like so into my husband, but I have dated so many comedy guys, with love to all of them, where like people would say to my face, like, I can't believe you're dating that person. You know, like.
Oh, right.
And I was always so stunned. Like, what do you say to that? But, you know, just hilarious guys that I found so cute, you know, because of what you're saying. But my husband is attractive, and so I did feel like I gotta move on this, you know. I gotta move on funny and cute, and I gotta beat out this writer, you know. She's not paid to put her face in front of the camera, so I am. So I'm gonna hope that I can maybe no, I'm kidding.
Devin and I always talk about this, though, because we feel like there is some stigma on doing that, on just forcefully putting yourself out there and being like, hi, am I yelling?
People don't like it. Yeah.
Very confusing. And then also you sort of come away with the, oh, my God, I think I like him possibly more than he likes me, which I've always sort of, or now at this part of my life, been kind of like, maybe that's the case. Maybe.
Yeah. I'm okay. Maybe with that. Your boobs do look low in that shirt. Maybe that's the case.
Possibly. I want true romance. One of the chapters I loved the most in your book was about your fondness for psychics, healers, shamans, etc. It doesn't sound like you are as deep into it as you were once upon a time in LA, but I have found myself with little crystals that I forget the names of, and
they're collecting dust.
Yes.
Yeah,
but I've also had some really random, like eerie, mysterious experiences that have been amazing and mind-blowing.
Yeah.
I wanted to know, because recently I had a psychic reading where the woman called me in a panic saying there was gang violence around me. I wanted to know some of the more off predictions you've received.
Oh, my God.
And some of the cool insights that did come true.
It's hard because I always try to force anyone to be right, or else I feel too sad that I paid for it. So like when they'll be like, so you had three sisters, right? I'm like, oh yeah, right. I probably did in a past life, but I'm trying to think. Oh, well, the main one, and I do mention it in the book, but a girlfriend of mine, I don't know why she thought I needed this, I guess because I'm into this stuff, but it was so wildly strange. She got me a gift certificate to see a psychic while I was pregnant, so that he calls himself a baby psychic. So basically, then I call him over the phone, which is also odd, although I've done a psychic over the phone, but he was like a guy from Long Island. He was like, hey, I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to connect with your kid. And I can't even do a Jersey accent. That's why I was fired from SNL. But he's like, I'm going to, basically he was going to connect with my son in this other plane. And then the first thing he said was to me is, he's like, you've been eating a lot of onion rings. But that was right while I was pregnant. So then he makes a very sharp segue into, you know, where my son is, what he's going to be like, which is, I wish I hadn't heard. It's just one of those things where you're like, now I'm like, is this what my son's like, or am I making him into this in my mind?
Right.
Wish I hadn't heard any of that. And then I made the mistake of asking someone that I felt to be a charlatan. I was like, let me put myself out there further and ask if he knows if my mom, who's passed, and my son are connecting in the middle plane, to which he goes, yeah, they know each other, but they're not that close. They're acquaintances.
Wait, What did your husband say about this, I guess?
Well, my husband, he was like, not everybody likes each other, you know? Like, we have to accept that. It's pretty hard to accept.
It's pretty tough to accept.
It's hard.
Oh my God, that makes me laugh. So I love the idea of you calling the baby psychic and it just being a baby crying on the other line.
Yes, many people are like, sorry, Sue, it's a baby psychic, which I honestly would see as well. Like, I think there's value to that.
Yeah, 1,000%.
As much as I love the book talk, I am wondering if we can move on to some housewives talk.
Absolutely.
It's important.
I just want to say that I have been trying to get Carolina to watch The Housewives the whole time I've known her, which is a decade,
yeah,
I would say. And she did not start watching until she read your book.
I dabbled. I dabbled, but The Wreckage of My Presence really gave me permission to use it as a de-stressing tool. And so I started with season one of New York. And wow. It changed my life. It really did. It opened up a new door. Will would laugh because every time he came into my room in Boston, I had a freeze frame of like Alex McCord and like Jill Zarin screaming at each other.
I love that you went all the way back.
I went all the way back mainly because Devin had spoken so highly of it and how she wished she could rewatch it again.
Yeah.
And then it was really fun because all the terminology that I got to share with Will, mainly like I'm coming to her, weapons down, like I'm laying my weapons down.
Weapons down.
Weapons down.
I literally, I love it, New York, so much. I mean, the same things that you're seeing in season one are what we are seeing in season 1,000,000. Like, I just watched New York an hour ago for my podcast tomorrow. And Ramona says something that I'm like, she probably says 1,000 times and I love it every time. And it's the most untruthful statement a human could make. She goes, oh, for my birthday, Luann's throwing me a party. She goes, I just find it very hard for me to receive because I'm so giving. She goes, I always like to get. Oh my God.
Meanwhile, her birthday is a center point of every single season. She's like driving people to Staten Island to taste candies for her birthday party. Yes. When she's like turning 59 or something.
Her birthday is something we all have to celebrate.
We have to celebrate.
A month out of a year.
Us and 60 of her closest girlfriends always have to celebrate.
It's like there's Gay Pride Month. We have all these different months of celebration. And then there is Ramona's birthday.
There have been some Dumois sightings around Ramona. And every
always
time
maskless.
Someone... Always maskless.
She was maskless at like last Thanksgiving. It would be like Ramona maskless again, like screaming at a server at whatever restaurant.
Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But every quote people attribute to her is I can hear in her voice. Like someone saw her in Italy kissing her boyfriend. And when she pulled away, they said they wrote her in as saying, what? No tongue?
Oh my God.
And then someone said they almost ran into her in New York the other night. And she said, oh, you scared me. Oh my God, you scared me.
I love it. I did watch What Happens Live with her, and she is so persuasive, though. You cannot walk away, even though you're like, you're having the same thought at once. Like, I hate this person, but somehow right. I'm intoxicated, but I really do hate her. It's not like, and then I met her and I kind of realized like, she's not that bad. I was like siding with her. Things were happening. I'm like, I don't know what's happening to me.
She has a pull.
Has a magnetic pull.
She gets everyone in within the same conversation. She will be like railing against someone and then they're hugging her and they're both crying. So
well, I'm proud of you for watching.
It's been a huge gift to my life.
And look, do it for you. Don't do it for Devin. Don't do it for me. Do it for yourself.
Well, I have to say that I'm in the highlight of my life, which I wish was its own TV show, which is The Girls in St. Bart's in season 4.
Yes. I've been waiting for her to get to the pirate for so long. I was like, skip ahead to the pirate. And she's like, no, I want all the context. Like, I want to get.
You want to get there.
I was
there.
Like, okay.
It was amazing. It was an amazing ride of my life.
Yeah.
Watching Aviva Drescher display something like borderline personality disorder, maybe dissociative disorder.
And then disassociate from her own leg when she threw her prosthetic is really something to behold.
It is something to behold.
She was a toofy.
I know.
She knows how to take the narrative by the steering wheel and drive off into the embankment.
Well, this season I think is actually so bad. And it's really the first one I found to be so bad. And I was texting with a friend and I was like, oh, you know, they don't have enough cast members. They only have five. And I'm like struggling to watch it, which I have never felt in my life with one Housewives episode. And he was like, basically he really put me in my place. He's like, how dare you? He's like, they've given you fucking 13 seasons of gold and you have the goddamn nerve to complain about one bad season. And I was like, oh my God, I've been so ungrateful.
Yeah, especially.
So, I've stopped sort of saying that. I'm like, he goes, they will right the ship. Give them a second. I was like, okay.
Well, speaking of bitch sesh.
Yes.
You recently on an episode referred to yourself as the Brian Williams of the Housewives world in that you often place yourself in experiences of the Housewives you watch, which I really relate to. Like, I feel like I was there on Scary Island. I can picture the palm trees now. So I wanted to ask if you could place yourself immersively in any scene of Housewives history, which would it be?
Oh my God. In Housewives history?
Yep.
Oh my God. What a question. Oh my God. The one that's, I always have like a selective memory where I just remember what's just happened with them too. Like the most recent, right. I don't know if you're watching Potomac, but there was recently just a dinner that was quite explosive that I would have loved to attend, a nude party where all the women were wearing nude outfits. And then one woman is just, it just went so crazy with, but that's probably, God, I don't know if that's a good answer, but probably would have wanted to be on Scary Island when Kelly Ben-Simone is doing her rant about gummy bears and Gwyneth Paltrow and Al Sharpton.
Yeah. My friend Gwyneth Paltrow.
Al Sharpton. Yeah.
My friend Gwyneth, I used to do that monologue so much in our live shows that I have to say, as a monologue, and I went to conservatory for acting for 4 years, and I'm not even doing a bit here. I've done a lot of monologues. I've even done terrible monologues from those books that are like monologues that someone just wrote.
Monologues for young women. Yeah.
Actors. Like, I've done a lot, and I've done the greats. It's an amazing monologue. Like, if you want to challenge your range and try to make sense of something and imbue things with meaning, really take a look at it.
I will also say that Drew Drogi, is that how you say his name?
Yes.
His Sonia, the J.P. Morgan, Wells Fargo monologue, that was riveting in your live show.
Riveting. Thank you for watching that.
I was shaken, like shaken by that performance. And it was one of those things I didn't even realize that scene was that good. I was like, oh, Sonia's drunk. I don't know what she's saying. And then when he delivered it, I was like, oh my God, this was tragedy.
We heard it for the first time.
That moment.
We did. And my girlfriend actually just texted me something. I don't know if you guys are watching that show. It's my favorite show I've ever seen. It's One Percenter, which is White Lotus on HBO.
Oh, yes.
Mike White's new show. I'm obsessed with everything that he does. But my friend is like, Jennifer Coolidge's character on White Lotus is Sonia.
Yes.
And he's like, that's what we're watching.
1,000%.
You know, just... I can see Sonia just scattering her mother's ashes over a boat and then blowing back at her.
Yes. Her dog's ashes did. They blew back at her.
When they came back into her mouth almost.
Yes.
So.
Well, also when Jennifer Coolidge is like, I'm a very needy person.
Unbelievable. Anyway.
Wouldn't be surprised if they were one and the same.
Yeah. I think, God, I love Sonia. Anyway.
Me too.
If you could end one Housewives relationship, which would it be?
There's some people on Jersey that I've really hated over the years in OC. I really hated Jim Bellino and Alexis Bellino, but they ended themselves.
God. Yes.
Who's terrible? You know, I used to really hate PK. Now I love him. You know, sometimes we just get some time with someone and we really settle down with them.
Yes. Agreed.
God, who are the worst ones? I really hated that guy on Jersey. Remember the woman... I really hate to describe her this way. She'd had breast cancer at one point. Long, beautiful hair. Okay, this is terrible. She was only on for a little bit, and he was truly, like, I think the worst husband I've ever seen.
Yes. I don't know their names at all, but I know who you're talking about.
Okay, sorry.
PK and Dory, much to my chagrin, I find weirdly charming, but... I also believe them to have the most fake narrative on the show being that I think they are in mountains and mountains of debt, and everything that Dory brings on the show is like a borrow or a steal.
Yes.
Wow. You think it's a house of cards?
Oh my gosh. Even some of her outfits, I'm like, I'm so sorry. I obviously wouldn't know it, but is that real Chanel? Like, I'm like, where did you get these clothes?
Right.
Yeah.
Or is that something you bought at like Nasty Gal?
But don't you think those women would call her out for fake clothes? Or maybe. Is that maybe one of, we've heard these women say so many horrible things about each other. One woman said another woman had a sex dungeon that she didn't have, basically accusing her of imprisoning and abusing people. But yeah. I do think for one of them to say your fashion, your clothes are fake is possibly the darkest statement.
That's true.
Maybe
that's,
they're afraid to go
Dory,
there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow. But what about like all the Hermes, like the dishes, the dishware? You think, because Hermes isn't going to loan that out to Jerique Kemsley. You think they're like a friends?
From the back of a truck. I don't know, but I feel like all of it is alone. I feel like something's going on.
Well, I do think she's fallen quite silent with all of this going on with Erica. And she's not piping in for this or that. Like, she's just like, who knows? I want to believe Erica and the testimonials. Right. But it's very low key. Right. I feel like she's like, don't make a wrong move. Don't throw a stone. Nothing. Or they're coming for you.
She did do the completely identifiable move of, well, this is so much worse than what was going on with me, which I think is.
Right. I guess as you say that, I'm like, maybe she did say that. Yeah. I thought she was trying to be like, I know I got my own problems, but let's get off them. But you're right. That was quite.
I think it was her own way of deflecting, though, being like, what happened with me was like small potatoes.
Like, look, don't even worry about that.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, on that subject, I know at different points you have believed that maybe Erica didn't know anything when she filed for divorce. And more recently, I believe you have stated that you did believe she did know something. Where do you stand now, especially after La Quinta, however you say that?
La Quinta.
The scene. La Quinta. Especially after La Quinta. What do you think about...
I'm so scared to say anything now because I keep getting these DMs where people are going fucking nuts on me.
Really?
Yes. I honestly want to say, like, you guys are like, just so cute on people in a way. Like, you're
right.
Like, your theories. And not only that, like, I've flip-flopped so many times with her. I honestly, like, I was like, I want to talk about it with you guys, but I don't know. And I know that's so boring. Right. But at points, like, I was like, I don't know. I kind of believed her when she was crying, be it just that her life has fallen apart. I just don't want to believe in my heart that Erica knew something so dark about, you know, that she was taking money from plane crash victims and widows. I just like in my heart to not believe that about her. And then I was like, are you fucking kidding me? She was clearly lying in that charade about him falling out of the car. It's like, I can't make sense of it. I can't. So I don't know.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
I don't know.
This turn of events, it's the first time I've read personally through case files. I don't feel like I found myself reading through stuff like that. And I just felt like maybe I'm not qualified. And yet I have
publicly
stated.
Well, we all want to be like I think that woman in The House Left in the Hustler, sorry to cut you off, that documentary, she is Aaron Brockovich of this case. And, you know, he played into the Aaron Brockovich movie. Well, I guess he was the lawyer, but something was based on him. Anyway. You know, I think we've all had to really kind of look outside our normal skill sets to try to crack this one, you know, because there's a lot going on there. What do you think?
Erica Jane was my favorite housewife of my obviously limited, but
the time you watched it on the gym at Crunch.
Yes. I was like, I love her. She's gorgeous.
She is beautiful. She is beautiful.
Thought she was the most charming and had legitimate star energy, charisma. I don't know. I know that I'm confused about money laundering, racketeering. Couldn't say how you would do such a thing. And I consider myself kind of smart, but in financial matters, have decided that it's none of my business how money happens. So I'm like hoping that Erica was as stupid as I am. I'm counting on that for her to just basically, if she was needing money from Tom Girardi for her pop career, I'm thinking that
she
maybe
has admitted
she
admitted to he funded all of it.
Yes.
It's not like that she was like, that was my money.
Right. I don't know. But I also remember even before this, and I'm sure you guys felt the same way, thinking, how much money does this person have? Because she has a creative director and an assistant and a stylist. And I remember the first time I started watching Beverly Hills thinking, oh my gosh, she has a choreographer for these shows. She's just putting on these shows. That's a lot of money. So how could you not know that you're hemorrhaging it?
She knew she was hemorrhaging it. I think all of that. I think she was quite comfortable spending all that money and opened up. But also, like, I mean, she did write a song called "It's Expensive to Be Me."
She did, yeah.
But, which is so tough looking back. Like, I was giving my kids a bath last night, and I was just like, I can't believe she wrote a song called "It's Expensive to Be Me."
I know.
Like, it's just, you can't make this up, which is why it's so great. But I don't know. I'm hearing what you're saying, which is like, I am hoping that she didn't know the origins of how she got that money. But I don't think her demeanor and her tone on social media is right.
No, I think it's very uncomfortable and not the right perspective. I do think it's also not a great tone when all of her friends are singing "It's Expensive to Be Me" on a boat in terms of quote unquote supporting her.
Well, I don't think it's, I mean, the Beverly Hills mansion that she's like, this is so cute. I know it's like so cute that I have a 4-bedroom house or whatever. No, but I am swayed. I am also easily swayed. And I agree with you both now. I think,
Well, sure. I said at one point, I was like, I don't know if Tom was that mean to her. Like, you know, and everyone's like, how dare you not believe an abused woman? And I'm like, but she's also sticking up for him and trying to me. There's also the theory that she's like, I'm worried about him. He has dementia, that she's trying to bolster his claim that he now has, you know, possibly dementia or whatever to help herself. Like, there's a lot going on that's not quite right. Like, she hit us with a lot at that one dinner. She was like, guys, I barely talk about my personal life in 7 seasons, but I'm going to tell you 27 things back to back that are going to blow your mind. And so she threw a lot at us.
On the one hand, I'm like, the clip they keep playing where he's like, if he can afford you, I just don't think that's bad, especially for a white guy who's like 80. Like, that's the best you've got on him. But we know he's an evil monster from what he did to his clients. So I'm sure he was selfish and terrible to her. I just don't think they have it on camera. But I don't know. Her narrative is a little bit confusing, but she's in a confusing place. I mean, how could I blame her?
I think what's more the issue is the order of things that's coming out. That's what I think is tripping up all of us. Is like, she's known about this, but she could only release things at certain times. I do believe her when she's like, I've got a story to tell that she can't tell.
Yes.
But then it's weird because she's like blaming him. Then she'll blame him for the other women. Maybe she's trying to be like, I fucking don't know.
Yeah.
But there's people that are like, this woman knew, she's fucking awful. And then other people are like, she's in an abused relationship. I wish I knew.
We just don't. There's some things, I guess, we just don't know and we'll never know.
I think we will know.
Oh, okay.
I think we will. I think we will know. But I don't know. Well, we won't know it at this juncture.
We do have a fandom community that rivals the size of the Housewives audience. So we surveyed some of our friends and loved ones and would like to ask you some viewer/listener questions a la Andy Cohen in
a
reunion episode.
Please.
So my cousin Colleen from Worcester, Massachusetts wants to know, Casey, what are your thoughts on the difference in Denise Richards from the first season of Beverly Hills versus the second? Do you think her husband has had an influence on her?
Yes, I do. And I think after the first season, people see how they come off and then they try to make adjustments and sometimes they miscalculate. And I think we liked her like easy breezy style, the same way we liked Leah's easy breezy style. And then you're like, oh, now I'm settling in with you. Now we're roommates. Do I like you as much?
Yes. Oh my God. That's such a good way to put it.
Aaron's behavior at one of the kids' birthday parties was egregious when he started yelling at all the women, like, are you kidding me? What's going on here?
He's an idiot. He's just a moron.
Dolt. Yes. Dolt.
Yeah.
Devin's mother, Ann Larry from Katona, New York, wants to know, Casey, do you ever go back and watch early episodes?
No. And thank you for that question. I don't, because I'm, you know, we're watching 3 a week and taking notes. And I'm a little like, I'm at capacity taking notes. I act like I'm always like to my husband, I'm like, oh, I have to watch the shows and take notes. But again, I am a genius for having figured out how to monetize watching the shows. I think show me a better business plan. But yeah. I don't, just because I'm so inundated with them. And anytime I think I have a second to put my feet up, here comes another season. Here comes Salt Lake.
And to those who aren't familiar, which I can only think of a few in our audience who wouldn't be familiar with Bitch Sesh, Casey's podcast, when Devin took me to the live Bitch Sesh show, I had never seen anything like it. It was truly as if a family who had been all on the same inside jokes for years got together. And especially for the costume portion, yes. Where Devin was dressed up like Luann when Luann says, just come on.
It was a lazy costume. Okay, you don't have to bring it up. It was a lazy costume. I just wore a bathrobe and said you don't have to be all uncool.
But that's great. We love that.
No, it is like normally I'm so socially awkward and I don't ever like make small talk. But at your live shows, I find myself being like, oh my God, I love your outfit. Oh my God, I cool.
Know, like, I'm not someone that wants to like wear a Halloween costume as an adult. But at this gathering, it is so much fun.
It's the best energy in a room. Like it really I can't describe it.
It's nothing to do with Danielle and I. This is the community of it's an indescribable bunch.
So this is actually a non-housewives question. My friend Lisa Cortez from Freehold, New Jersey, wrote in, no matter what, please tell her how much I love her and everything she does. Okay. And she said, which Happy Endings character was your favorite?
Oh, thank you for that question. I think Adam Pally's character, he played Max, I think was definitely my favorite. And I actually have been rewatching because we're like doing a little something with it. And I'm like, I've never seen it since it came out. And Megan Mullally playing my mother is incredible in it.
Yes. Strong
she
agree.
She really is just great.
She's so talented.
Yeah.
It's really one of my favorite shows. And I hope you'll identify with my description of it. It's one of my favorite cozy shows. You know, like, I think it's why a lot of people watch, like, The Office and Parks and Rec.
Meant to be watched tucked in and fall asleep during.
Exactly. Well, especially when you're like, I don't know what I want to watch, but I want to be with people I know, and I want to be happy and cozy. And like,
laugh,
I
just, yes.
Laughing. Yeah, I need a pure distraction right now. And Happy Endings totally. Really served my household
that way. To me,
there's
no greater compliment. I mean, I just have been rewatching like over and over, like 30 Rock and Kimmy Schmidt and Arrested Development and like shows you can just like have a fucking laugh.
Yes. I have been watching those shows as well as rewatching Real Housewives of Potomac, and it is mostly good for a laugh. And then sometimes so dark when Michael is on screen that. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, to go back in time, of course, the couple that should be broken up the most is Ashley and Michael Darby. 100%. Sorry, and I can't believe I didn't. It was almost like so in front of me. I couldn't get there.
You probably blacked it out from your mind because it's just so, it is so upsetting.
Upsetting.
Devin's aunt, Betsy Leary Hilton from North Haven, Connecticut, wants to know, why do you think Ramona keeps shitting on the floor?
Oh my God. I don't know, but I have to draw a line in the sand with this. It fucking grosses me out. Like,
it's really bad.
I hate it. And Danielle loves it and is like, no, this is like part of our canon now. Like, this is part of what we do on these. I'm like, no.
This is part of what we
do. It's disgusting. Like, I actually was so upset when I saw it on this season in particular. I fast forwarded it. I'm like, I will not.
It keeps happening.
It keeps happening, and I won't be a part of it. I won't.
No, it's so bad.
I hate it so much. I hate it. Especially coming from someone who's like so afraid to talk about sex. And then, she's awful. Right. She's just awful person.
She is really, really awful. Sinister. It was one thing when it was like, whatever, they all had seasickness and diseases from being on that shipwrecked ship wherever
they
were.
That was one thing.
But to just in general life have that be a problem is something that I'm sorry she deals with, but I wish that she didn't have to document it.
Ugh, disgusting. It really is.
Can we ask Lisa from New Jersey's question?
Sure.
Most iconic Harry Dubin moment in your opinion?
Oh my God. Harry, to be honest, is a bit of like a blur for me. He's just always around. He's always like standing behind someone's chair. And like wandering through a restaurant. God, What's yours? And I don't mean to throw it back on you, but to me, he's just like a mirage of a man that's always kind of with us and kind of not.
I mean, I just liked in general that Aviva was married to him. Like, I just felt that was an interesting storyline.
I literally forgot that until now. I was like, I know he's been at Aviva's and I'm like having images and flashes of him at Aviva's, but it's like, this is the thing about the show. Like, you can forget a storyline that's like explosive. And at the time, it's all you think about. And then there's so many others crowd your mind that
yes,
you have to let some of the greats go.
Right. Well, I think at that time he was hooking up casually with Sonia, but like what you're remembering might be that he went to a party at Aviva's house, his ex-wife, and then Sonia was there and Sonia was rolling on the bed saying like, should we have sex in your ex-wife's bed or something? And he was anyway, here's my son who's in elementary school.
It's
that
might so have
tough. Been a moment. Yeah.
It's so, that was a great moment. And I do remember it. Yeah.
I actually want to selfishly ask one more question and then Please. We promise. Do you think, and I'm nervous to even ask it and put it into the universe, do you think Robin and Juan will make it and get married on the show?
You know, when you were saying Potomac has darkness, I was just flashing to the last episode where she's depressed and she's in bed during the pandemic and waking her kids up like 2 minutes before their Zoom school. And yeah. I feel so bad for her. It just makes me so sad to see it. And it's like, you know, she's clearly so depressed but I get why he's frustrated, but I'm also like, yeah, she needs help and she's trying her best. Like, it's so sad to me. And I don't know. I feel bad that you've asked me all these questions and I'm simply like, I don't know. I want them to make it and I think they will, but I think Robin seems to me like really genuinely like clinically depressed and a lot of people are, and she's taking care of kids alone in a pandemic. And so I'm like, just wish she would like get some help.
I totally agree. And I find myself like I'm rewatching all of Potomac and their love story is so, I have cried so many times at their love story.
Yeah.
So I'm rooting for them so much that I find myself like justifying it where I'm like, that's just how they are. Like he just talks, like he's just trying to help her get out of bed. But if someone in my moments of depression were to have come in and reprimanded me like that.
On camera.
it would not have been ideal.
Well,
so,
you know, a lot
of
times when you see them sleeping, you're like, okay, clearly like they let the camera crew in. Like, how did they get in there? In this case, I feel like Juan was like, I don't know, go in. Like she's asleep.
I agree. Yeah.
Like it not feel on any level like Robin was like, oh, I didn't see you there. Like Robin did not see them there.
She did not.
No.
Yeah.
I'm amazed by this. Like, I find it so traumatizing to see myself on camera for like 30 seconds. And the idea that someone could film you drunk, falling down, embarrassing yourself, and then you go on for another season, I would not be at that reunion. I would be like, I need to move to another country. Like, I would move to like the countryside of Ireland and just reinvent
myself.
You'd be
Matt Damon. You would become Matt Damon.
I would buy a zoo. I would buy a zoo.
God, when my husband and I ever go to this restaurant, Little Dom's in Los Feliz, there's a scene from We Bought a Zoo where they're sitting in a little table in the window. And we're always like, we'd like the We Bought a Zoo booth, please.
It's a little plaque.
It's a little plaque. But I do think these women are brave. I really do. And granted, yes, are they fame seeking? Are they all of this? Yes. But to your point, like, well, Richards is like, yeah, I got a nose job and here I am recovering in bed and this one's that and here's my marriage and here's where I'm failing as a this and that. I'm just like, they're providing me so much entertainment. I can only say thank you. Like you're right. Like I know people, you know, in like comedy shows I've done and stuff, people be like, oh, have a beer before show. I'm like, are you kidding me? I need every fucking faculty I have to perform. I'm not having a glass of wine going out there. Like I could never.
Certain characters like Kyle and Bethany that actually are really made for this weird niche industry. Kyle shows up like a star of her show so well, I feel like.
Yes. And comes off quite well.
Yes. Even when she's literally letting a camera come in to film her nose job.
Yeah.
Which again, wouldn't be my path, wouldn't be my story. Casey, to end our interview with you today, which I truly can't believe we got to do. My sister does watch Casey's Kids sometimes and has, they are truly funny children. And one asked her, when was the day that you became an adult? And she was like, I don't know. That's a really good question. And he said, I think it was June 21st. And she was like, that was yesterday.
Okay. Honestly, that was the day though. My little guy's like 3 and a half. And from this just is pertains to everything we're discussing with television. But gave me a Mother's Day card. And I was like, I love this so much. Like, I need to put this in a place of honor. Like, where can I hang this that I will see it every single day, every second? And he goes, oh, then just tape it up to the TV, mama. It's like, okay. He's like, oh, you say you want to see it all the time. Like, put it on the TV. He will. It's like, okay.
That does make sense.
I was like, that's work.
How many times do I have to tell you that that's for work? It's research.
Yeah. How did you get the paper to make that fucking drawing for me? Sir.
Character research.
Yes.
Thank you so much for coming on our podcast.
Hey, thank you for having me, Carolina. You're so sweet and funny. And you were so nice to me on the show we worked on together.
Oh my God.
You were so kind as I was terrified. And you were so funny. And I was like, oh, this girl is so funny.
We were all bragging to each other that we were talking. All the assistants were like, yeah, I talked to Casey on set. I think we're going to become friends. And another assistant would be like, I just got her a snack because I think we're going to become friends. And I was texting Devin live from set being like, I am talking to Casey Wilson. And she just couldn't get over it.
That's really nice, but I don't remember getting any snacks. No, I remember one time you very generously got me something, and that was really nice.
And that's why you're on our podcast now.
Yes. I'm sure.
Do these other assistants have podcasts? I don't know.
No. Except Mika, Michael Showalter's assistant, did say she wanted to not work today and come watch us record a podcast.
Oh, I love her. I will not say who, but I got into a bit of a tussle with a housewife on DMs after I said a little something about her. And, you know, my hands were shaking. I had to take Klonopin. I truly was like, I was rattled to my very fucking core. And I'm like, I must tell Mika about this. Like, I knew she would feel it so deeply. And she had been there when I had met this woman another time, like totally separately. And she told me, this is the funniest thing. It really made me laugh. So when we kind of settled it, like 2 days later, me and this housewife, because like, I have to tell you, I didn't want to say this because it seems so insane to tell you at the time, but like, I also had to take a so in it, the
residual,
like, with you.
Residual,
yeah,
yes.
And it was so scary to interface with these women, like to break that fourth wall and have them like coming for me. Now, granted, again, am I doing a show where I make fun of them every week? Yes, but I don't want to.
But no tagging.
Their feelings, and I don't want them coming for me. I was like, how dare you say anything to me?
No, I don't ever want to see them. Like, I don't want to get close. I don't want to know how they really are.
I've only met like 5 in my day, 5 or 6, and they'll reel you in, you know, they will.
I did meet Bethany before she was famous, and she did try to sell me her cooking videos when I was like 13. But she was great. Look,
how did she get where she is?
And here she is.
Exactly. Always be selling, always be closing.
I should have taken notes instead of judging her like I did.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, she's doing quite well, you know,
watching her sell muffins in a grocery store while an elderly woman walked up and asked her where the chicken was.
Oh my God.
It was inspiring. It was really inspiring.
Only to sell, to sell that company. I mean,
for like $100 million and, you know, shame on
God
Jason.
God bless
Huffy.
Her. You know, yeah. There's a lot going on there, you know?
Yeah.
A lot going on there. But God bless her.
God bless her. God bless you. God bless Devin. God bless our producer,
you guys.
Olivia.
God bless your family members who wrote in such beautiful questions, texted
Thank you
in,
so
I'm
much.
Sure was
Thank
more
you.
The case. But
thank you.
Thank you for having me. This was so fun.
This was an
Thanks,
honor.
Casey.
Thank you so much.
Of course.
Baby, don't leave me hanging. I want truth.
Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.